President Obama visited tornado-hit Joplin, Missouri yesterday.
The question that weighs on us at a time like this is why? Why our town? Why our home? Why my son or husband or wife or sister or friend? We do not have the capacity to answer.
This spring has brought record-breaking natural disasters in multiple states.
The amount of damage that is seen is beyond a nightmare.
We have neighborhoods completely gone.
There's still an awful lot of water headed our way.
That you can actually sit and look at your home going underwater.
Not far away in Texas, it's a very different story. The Lone Star State facing a terrible drought there.
I never think anything like this would happen. But it did.
Natural disasters cause more than damage and death. They also change our politics, culture, race, class, and economics. And they're often the mileposts of history. There will be Japanese history before the earthquake and history after. People in Joplin, Missouri, and Tuscaloosa, Alabama will remember where they were when tornadoes touched down and ripped their lives apart. And Cajuns in Louisiana and people from Vicksburg, Mississippi will tell their grandchildren about the floods of 2011. Just as generations talked about the flood of 1927. Natural disasters can bring out the best in people, but history tells us they can also bring out the worst in the panicked and desperate, even igniting racial tensions in the flood of 1927. In the aftermath of that deluge, white families were rescued, blacks were not. Here's John Barry, author of Twisting Tide, from a Weather Channel documentary.
Every plantation owner would simply gather up his sharecroppers and trucks and drive them to the levee. In some areas, you actually had Boy Scouts holding guns on African-American men.
African-Americans forced at gunpoint to build new levees. And so the 27 flood helped revive the stalling Great Migration. Tens of thousands of blacks moved north after their harrowing experiences along the Mississippi. The flood also helped get Herbert Hoover elected president in 1928. Hoover was Secretary of Commerce when the Mississippi overflowed its banks.
I cannot too strongly urge every voter to go to the polls on
Herbert Hoover campaigning for office. Ironically, the flood also changed the judgment of people 4 years later, in 1932. That's when reports of mistreatment of blacks in the refugee camps they oversaw finally began to make headlines, and Hoover lost the black vote and his reelection campaign to FDR. Disasters leave marks on our memory as well, not just our politics. You can still hear echoes of the 27 flood in the music.
If it keeps on raining, levee's going to break.
When it thunders and lightning and the wind begins to blow.
And I'm crying how long for another payday. That's why I'm crying, Mississippi heavy water blues.
And in our literature, William Faulkner wrote about the flood, and Mark Twain said this: "The Mississippi River will always have its own way. No engineering skill can persuade it to do otherwise." Clearly, a lot has changed since 1927, but as we struggle through this catastrophic spring, you can be sure the tornadoes and floods will change us in powerful ways.
The house was shaken, and it was scary.
We don't have any power, no electricity, and no water.
Stories keep coming back in. It's worse than we thought. So we're just reeling back from all that.
We will probably talk and write and sing about the spring of 2011 for years to come. Mother Nature leaves marks that last longer than it takes to rebuild a home or a hospital or replant a flooded field. And we want to check back in Joplin, Missouri, where the president took a tour of the damage there yesterday and gave a speech at the memorial service for victims of the tornado. And we're joined yet again by Kenneth Irvin, a truck driver who lives there in Joplin. Kenneth, you were at the memorial service yesterday. Your home was severely damaged by the tornado. Did the president say things that made you feel better or more reassured about the future?
He made me feel better, yes. I'm glad that he made an appearance. It made a lot of difference to people here in town.
What was it he said that struck you?
The one thing that struck me the most was when he made a statement about not knowing who our heroes are. That they could be, a waitress or the person at the counter at the Walmart, or an individual at the gas station.
Or maybe a truck driver, right, Ken? Let's listen to what the president said there.
There are heroes all around us, all the time. They walk by us on the sidewalk. And they sit next to us in class. They pass us in the aisle wearing an orange apron. Just as we can't know why tragedy strikes in the first place, we may never fully understand where these men and women find the courage and strength to do what they did.
The last time we spoke with you, Ken, you had no idea where you were going to be staying because the parts of your roof were torn off. Where are you staying?
Right now, I'm with a family, friends. They live on the north side of town. They received no damage up here, the north of 20th Street.
Well, you voted for President Obama in 2008. Is that correct?
That's correct. No.
But you weren't among the majority. Joplin did not go for President Obama. Do you think that were there mixed feelings about the president's visit yesterday?
There were among the people that I know personally, but as I had said to some friends yesterday, you know, Missouri may not have been happy with the election of Obama, and I couldn't tell that at the memorial service. He was welcomed warmly, and quite frankly, I was surprised. But it was heartwarming.
Would you consider leaving Joplin, Ken?
I had considered leaving Joplin initially. It was just a snap decision. But after some further thought, I thought that I would like to stay here and be a part of the new growth.
It's a long road. You guys have a long way to go.
Yes, we do. We do.
But you and your son both ready to stay and fight it out, right, Ken?
Yes. Yes.
Ken Irvin, Joplin resident, a truck driver whose rental home was badly damaged during the tornado, and his 25-year-old son, both staying with friends there. Ken, thank you so much for joining us, and happy Memorial Day.
Thank you.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.